If you are a teenager in Anchorage struggling with homelessness, hunger, or addiction, there are few places to turn. All week, we've been hearing about a wide gap between early exposure to drugs and alcohol and the crises that bring people into treatment, part of our series called The Blind Spot. KSKA's Zachariah Hughes visited one of the few organizations in Anchorage helping at-risk teens on their own terms, hidden in plain sight in one of the city's busiest buildings.
The Power Teen Center is up a flight of stairs in the hectic downtown transit center.
And right now we're standing kind of like a balcony where you can kind of look over and see everyone downstairs waiting for their bus.
Kalesia is 17 and has been employed as an outreach worker at Power, which is what everyone I talk to calls it, for going on 3 years. She gave me a tour one Friday, close to 5 p.m., as the staff are closing up for the weekend, ushering dozens of young people out the door.
This is the front center, pretty much where people hang out, watch TV, and also where like people can get the sign-in or the clipboard to get tested to see the nurse. And then also we have the condom giraffe in here, but yeah, condom giraffe, and then people just sit out here and chill and talk, pretty much.
Condom giraffe, I should mention, is a giraffe-shaped cabinet stocked with condoms for clients to take. Power offers basic services like food and clothing, and connects at-risk kids to resources like housing, counseling, and even treatment. Last year, the on-site medical clinic tested more than 400 young people for sexually transmitted diseases. Paid youth staffers like Kalesia work here, but they also carry backpacks full of food and supplies, doing street outreach downtown or by the park strip and as far away as the Diamond Center. Chris Mortensen is one of the few adults I see during my visit. He supervises the center and its staff and thinks Power's model fills a vital gap in services available to young people.
I mean, I think that we're much more on the side of safety and linkage as far as being the first line of contact. So we use a harm reduction model, meaning that we're not going to kick out youth because of them using or because of different difficulties that they may have, you know, trying to look past some of the barriers for them to reach other services.
As Mortensen and I are talking inside the food pantry, a young man pokes his head in.
Can I get a bag of food?
Absolutely, yeah.
He fills a plastic bag with dry goods and a package of lunch meat from a freezer. Power's approach is similar to the Housing First model, which believes you can't help people in crisis with big life issues if immediate concerns like hunger and safety aren't met. Mortensen says that's part of the reason the center is located in the bus station.
Our youth are here. Whether we're here or not, our youth are downstairs and hanging out here. One of my youth peer outreach workers the other day told me, you know, Chris, just because we're not open on Mondays doesn't mean our youth aren't outside sitting against the glass door.
Kalesia is more candid about how the location fits with the mission. Many of the clients she works with are surviving poverty, addiction, and trauma, with the geography of downtown and the bus system playing a prominent role.
Because the bus center is like right here in the heart of downtown, it would only make sense to put the Power Teen Center up here where a lot of things are going on, a lot of like drug-related activities going on downtown, a lot of illegal activities going on, a lot of people in need, and a lot of people coming in and out.
Power does not have data on how many young people they pull out of trouble, and that's on purpose. They don't ask for IDs from clients or do any kind of tracking because they know that for one reason or another, some of them do not want to be found. But Mortensen and Kalesia both say they see the center making a huge difference in the lives of the young people it serves. Kalesia knows what many of the clients face. She ran away when she was 14 and her family was homeless.
I didn't run away from home because it wasn't a home. But when I ran off to the Covenant House, they immediately contacted my mother and she knew where I was and she put me in a girl's home.
She actually liked the stability at the girl's home, but then her mother pulled her out.
And so I was back on the streets, being homeless again. And if Power wasn't here, you know, I don't know where I would have gone because I obviously can't go to Covenant House. They're going to turn my ass in again. So I don't know. I don't really know. I think it's really a blessing because I probably would have been doing some of the stuff that the clients here at Power are doing that are getting really deep into.
Still, hers is a happy story. In the fall, Kalesia is starting college.
Yeah, so I'm going to go off to University of Hawaii, Manoa, and major in gender studies. Really, it's peace studies. Because I really want to be, you know, Power has opened that door for me to be an advocate, a leader in my community.
You can maybe hear it in her voice, but this kind of work is a double-edged sword for Kalesia. It makes her laugh, gives her a sense of purpose, but it's exhausting, and she's had to leave the job 3 times to give herself breathing room. She can tell she's approaching burnout. She's not even legally an adult. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
To see more stories in our series, The Blind Spot, visit alaskapublic.org.